Goeienaand almal, good evening everybody. If we can get find our seats, one way of filling the hall is to limit the number of seats. You all got a seat? You can't hear me?
It's
too bass. Sorry, but I've got this deep voice. Is that better? That must be my wife. Kan julle my agter hoor? So long. Now it's got feedback. Kan julle my nou hoor? Voordat ek julle verwelkom, kan ek net vra, kan ons net vir 'n oomblik stil wees? If we could just be quiet for a minute or two in silent prayer or meditation, as is your persuasion, before the meeting starts, please. You just bow our heads. Thank you. Nou, baie welkom. Ek waardeer die feit dat julle die moeite gedoen het om vanaand hier te wees. Dit is altyd moeilik, is die middel van 'n week, is die einde van die jaar. Ons is almal druk besig, 'n klomp verpligtinge. But this is a very important meeting as it may impact depending on the approach you adopt on your financial position. We believe that this is an exciting opportunity for Graaf Reinetters in a time when there's little hope, I think. You know, we watch the news and it's one media notice of corruption, further corruption, corruption in the police force, corruption in the courts, corruption in government. And one can get a bit moedeloos, you know. But what I'd like us to focus on is the good things, not the bad things. And we as South Africans are blessed to live in the country that we live in. We are particularly blessed in the Karoo and in Graaf Reinet, where we live. And we must, if you focus on the positives in your environment that you live in, the people around you, the extraordinary environment, and wonderful people that make up our community, then there's a lot of good reason why we should try and preserve that and improve that. You cannot take things for granted. You cannot leave it to government. Government doesn't have the capacity, doesn't have the resources to deliver to its people. And you and I, this is our time. Not just the title deed you hold to your property that's going to mean that we might tax you, but you actually own the town. The municipality is the custodian of municipal property. It's our property. This country belongs to us, and we can take ownership of it, and we should take ownership of it. And really, this initiative is aimed at trying to identify amongst us like-minded people that are proud of where we come from, proud of where we live, want to make it better and preserve what we have for the betterment of this community and all of its people. The concept came to me by accident, really. And if I could just say this. The late Pope said, the greatest sin of our time is indifference. The people that are in this room are not indifferent. You wouldn't be if you were indifferent. If things didn't matter to you. And it should. Things should matter to you. I was approached about 2 years ago by people that invest in this community to establish whether I thought this community might have the appetite for establishing what is commonly known as a city improvement district, which was a foreign concept to me. It's not common in the Eastern Cape. There are a handful in the Eastern Cape. There are about 54 in the Western Cape. And I had to give it some thought. And when I looked at the law, it was quite intimidating. Because how do you motivate a community to want to tax itself some more? There's a section in the Local Government Municipal Property Rights Act, Section 22, which the government in its wisdom provided for the establishment of what's called a special rates area. It allows for the establishment of a specific geographic area in respect of which additional rates, property rates, may be levied, but for specific purposes. So when this landed on my desk, I didn't know that we could swing this. And I left it for some time until we had a very positive experience with the attack on our town, the name change. And this community stood up as one, all population groups, black, white, colored, Afrikaans, English. And we stood up as one to oppose something on not a political basis, but to protect that which we have, ons erfenis. And what was fascinating was we had a study done by scientists at the University of Stellenbosch, a cultural historian and an urban geographer, leaders in their field. And they did an independent study which included engaging with all population groups and establishing what the people of Graafnet felt. It was a lot more complicated than that, but the net result was that the vast majority of people in Graafnet didn't want a name change. The vast number of people in Graafnet identify as Graafnetters, and the vast majority don't want to live anywhere else. And a very substantial majority are fourth generation Graafnetters, which blew the academics away. They didn't expect the outcome of their research. But what it did for me as a community member was give me hope, because we have the sense of identity. One of the most difficult concepts that geographers and environmentalists and various people are wrestling with is a concept called sense of place. Because your sense of place in Graafnet might differ vastly from somebody that lives in a tin shack in Vrygrond. So it's a difficult concept. We think of the Karoo with its vast open expanses, its clean air, its clean water, its sense of stability, stable communities, low crime statistics, and you are then upset if somebody wants to put up a wind tower or a fracking well site because it's going to destroy your sense of place. But what was fascinating was that in this village, the vast majority of people have a strong sense of place. They have different cultures, different backgrounds, but we all feel strongly about our town. And that motivated me to try and identify a group of people that would be representative of our community, male, female, colored, white, black, young, old, that might be like-minded, that might be people that are excited about where they live and that saw the value of wanting to preserve and improve what we have. So we put together, which is actually a statutory thing, a steering committee. It's not an elected body. It's a bunch of people I approached personally, so it's my fault. And some have fallen by the wayside, others have joined us more recently. Because I must tell you that from an administrative legal point of view, it's a mammoth task to get off the ground. And the current group of people, most of them, we'd approached by October last year to see if they had the appetite of walking this road with us. And we then had to focus on the legal requirements. And although the Dr. Beyers Naudé municipal rates policy makes provision for a special rates area, it didn't have a SRA policy, a specific policy, and there were no bylaws, and you need bylaws and policy to establish a special rates area in terms of the Act. So we had to start from scratch, and we had to get buy-in from municipal officials to walk the road with us, because we needed to establish bylaws and policy. So we went to Cape Town, a group of us, and had ourselves educated by an advocate that had drafted the bylaws and policy for the City of Cape Town. And we also visited the City of Cape Town as a dedicated office for CIDs, and we met their officials and saw how it worked in practice. And then we as a team, and I'll introduce you to them shortly, developed the bylaw and the policy based largely on the Western Cape model, which has been tried and tested, and we presented that to the local government and the Dr. Beyers Naudé Council approved of the policy and the bylaw, and that bylaw was published on the 1st of September of this year, and for the first time then, we were allowed to go public about what it is we want to do. Before that, we were not entitled to go public. So although we've been working on it for about almost a year by then, we were not able to share that with you before September of this year. The process entailed a ratepayer that's in good standing with the municipality to bring an application to the municipality for the establishment of a special rates area, and that fell on my lap, and I filed that application on the 3rd of September of this year, and we had a statutory meeting with the CFO of the municipality the next day on the 4th of September of this year, which allowed us then, my application having been accepted as being compliant with the law, we were then allowed to proceed with our public participation process. So it's new. It's new to all of us. A great deal of hard work has gone into this. The group of very able young people, and some not so young, but mostly young. And we would like, tonight is the first official public meeting. We have had numerous others. We've engaged with all communities in Graaf-Reinet. We met with people in Umasizaki, in Kroonvale, in Asheville, Santaville, Graaf-Reinet. We also had meetings with focus groups. When Wessel does the presentation in due course, you'll see that the business plan is built on four pillars. They are prescribed in law. And we met with focus groups in a particular industry like security, social upliftment, environmental issues, and so on, to better inform ourselves as to what the people of Graaf-Reinet felt. And I must emphasize now, this is a community-driven project or initiative. It is driven by the community, not by a single member of the community, but by the whole of the community. The majority of people in the geographic area that's been identified must support the initiative, and it will be driven by the community, for the community. The fact that one community member took the initiative becomes irrelevant as the process continues, because the role that I will play, for example, will change. The role that the steering committee will play will change, and it will morph into something totally different, which is a non-profit company that will have a board of directors, it will have shareholders who are the affected ratepayers. Wessel will illustrate to you the geographic area that was identified and why it was identified. But we are going to be different. We are going to be different to the rest of the country, because we are, firstly, but secondly, because our vision is different. When this challenge was put to me and they said, yeah, but you've got homeless people and there's substance abuse and this is linked to crime and it creates a poor impression for tourism And you think and you sit back and you think when you're alone, how is One Oak going to fix the unemployment problem in South Africa? How are you going to solve homelessness? How are you going to solve drug abuse? And you can't as an individual. But you can make a huge difference as a community. And there are amazing organizations in this town and in this country that do a lot of good work, but they also, like the municipalities, lack resources and capacity. What if we could enhance that energy, give access to people, to resources and capacity, and add value to what these very good folk are doing in our community? But it's going to take you to take that decision, because if we don't have your support, being the support of the affected ratepayers in the identified geographical area, if we don't get majority support, this thing doesn't happen. And we've lost an opportunity. You've lost an opportunity to make a difference in your town and therefore in your country. Next year, Graaf Reinet celebrates its 240th, birthday. 4th oldest magisterial district in the country, 8th oldest town. It's a big deal. 240 years in the context of South African history is a big deal. It would be a big deal, I think, if we got what we're going to call a community improvement district off the ground also in 2026, where we as Graaf Reinet join hands and we determine to improve what we have. We also have learned in recent times and have celebrated that through Bruce Rubidge and his team in the Paleontological Museum, that we're also 252 million years old in that, as I understood, if I absorbed anything I learned in that museum, was more or less when mammals originated, and they originated here, and so therefore we sort of originated here. So we are actually a lot older than 240 years. It's like uncountable years. We're different for the reasons I've just given you, but we took a decision as a steering committee and we formulated the bylaws and policy different in one crucial respect to any other one we've seen in the country. Doesn't mean there aren't others, but we believe it's different. That we are not going to create a little island of excellence in this town with degradation around its outer walls. We want to uplift our entire community. And the bylaw makes provision that we may spend outside of our geographic area. Because what would be the point of addressing safety and security in Somerset Street and Duncan Street, but you don't give a hoot about Pansy Street or AME Street or the thoroughfare of criminals from the various areas? What would be the point of us living with our doors standing open and well fed, and those members of our community that are less fortunate don't benefit from this initiative? So it's going to take you to decide to tax yourself, which is a first. You're going to determine what that tax is to be, and you are going to determine how it is spent. And you're also going to decide to spend it on someone else. You can yourself belast. Die omvang van die belasting bepaal, waarvoor dit aangewend bepaal, en jy gaan ook 'n besluit neem om ander te bevoordeel deur jou belasting. Dit is 'n geleentheid wat die wetgewer vir ons geskep het, and it is my belief that the people of this town and this district, and I must tell you, there are people of substantial influence and worth that are not within the geographic boundaries of this special rights area. Farmers, investors in property, large ecotourist concerns and the like that are excited about what we are going to do, but we can't tax them because they're not in our geographic area. But we are entitled to look outside of the rates income for income from others, and we believe it will be forthcoming, provided we stand up as a community and exhibit a willingness to take ownership of our town and to make it something really special. It is already something special. Residential property prices have gone up by 25% since last year. Agricultural property prices have gone up for close to 50% over the last 12 months. There are other people that see the value of what we have. People that are investing from overseas, countries like the Netherlands, Germany, Switzerland, France, United States of America. They see the value of what we have in the Karoo, and Graaf Reinet is the hub, and we're special. We must get excited about where we live. We must want to make it better. We want to create an environment that is safe and advances the well-being of all of the people in our community. And guess what? We might even then solve homelessness. We might even give dignity to people that have succumbed to other social ills by virtue of their poverty and lack of opportunity. You might actually achieve that. That's my little bit. I'm then going to give the formal presentation. This is a formal meeting that's demanded of us in law to present to you a business plan and our initial draft business plan and budget. There'll be a second round, a very important meeting in January. So I'm going to hand over to Wessel to attend to the formal things, and there'll be opportunity for questions afterwards. And at this point, then, I'd like to introduce you to the team. And miskien kan julle vorentoe kom en daar gaan sit waar die mense julle kan sien. Christian Meyer, eerstens. Christian is a community and church leader in our community and a man that brings much wisdom to our table. Yes. And Andy Johnston, pharmacist. Also a community man, a man of faith. Rob Hobson, retired farmer. And asks all the difficult questions behind closed doors, Rob does. Then we're privileged to have most recently added to our team, Anziska Keister. She needs very little introduction. She is, I don't know what the exact designation is, but she runs our heritage museums in town and has recently obtained a PhD. Clever lady that adds a great deal of value to what we do. And then businessman, Neil Kaiser. How's your Neil? Neil is a plaaslike sakeman. Julle sal later sien dat die geografiese gebied wat identifiseer is, het soort van drie sektore. Daar's 'n residensiële sektor, 'n sake sektor en 'n industriële sektor. En dis belangrik vir ons dat ons so ver moontlik verteenwoordigend kan wees van almal. Wessel Landman. Wessel, kan jy staan? Jy's weggesteek daar. I'm sort of the non-executive chairman of the steering committee, but he's been the de facto chairman. Does incredible work. He's a local business person who has invested in the town and is involved in a number of organizations already. Lerata Siyayo, who is not here this evening. She's a non-property owning additional member of the steering committee. The others are all property owners in good standing with the municipality. And then we have Tanya Kroon. Tanya, where are you? Tanya will not like to be referred to as the farmer's wife. She's a farmer and also heads up the local tourist organization. Is doing a fantastic job and has a vested interest in the well-being of our town. And then finally, I want to introduce to you, those of you who don't know, Imke Maree. Em, if you could just stand. Imke is our sole employee. There's absolutely no way we could have achieved what we did since February this year had we not employed Imke. It's been a mammoth task, and she's been invaluable, sometimes worth more than one person, I think. So that's the team. Wessel, as jy dan die aanbieding kan doen.
Die gains is 'n bietjie af, dink ek. Is that better, guys? Thank. Happy. Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I'd just like to thank Derek. I think sometimes he carries the town's problems on his shoulders, and I know specifically with the establishment and the concept of the CID was heavily weighted on his shoulders, and it took him a long time to get going, but he put lots of thought into it and assembled a steering committee, which is all represented here tonight, to best pursue the opportunity of a CID. So I think just really like to thank Derek, and I think it's just deserving just to maybe just give him a round of applause. So Derek's pretty much said everything, so I'll keep it quick. We're going to be following the agenda, but I think just importantly, the important aspect of tonight is the presentation of the business plan, which is a draft business plan, and it is already published on the website as of 3 o'clock this afternoon. We've all been and seen the website. Most of you that are here have most likely visited the website as well. Please do visit. So in context of my presentation, it is open for input and discussion, but as you will also see, the Urban Management Survey played a large role in the business plan presented to you. I'm going to start off with the concept of the CID, which I think we've all sort of heard about it. Derek's given a very good explanation about it, but I think it's maybe not quite hit home with a lot of people, the type of questions that we have as steering committee received. Imke has received via email or SMS. Sometimes there's a little bit of a miscommunication, so I'm going to actually read to you the specific extract from the City of Cape Town. A city improvement district refers to a clearly defined geographical area in which property owners contribute additional rates to fund supplementary municipal service for a specific area as per the community supported by the business plan approved by the municipal council. So I think that's quite a very important aspect to understand. The business plan is informed by us, the community, and the additional ratepayers. We are entirely in charge of what happens and how it is governed. Specifically as well is the additional services that can be offered, again, in legislation and in the bylaw clearly defined. So from a steering committee point of view, we've not dreamt up ideas. We are following what we've been guided to do. And again, the Urban Management Survey was set up accordingly. So the big services are public safety, cleaning services, urban maintenance, social and economic development and upliftment. I think very importantly, these are in public spaces and not on private property. So this is not for somebody's individual gain. This is for the community's public spaces and all of our gain. I think also importantly, the rates that will be charged, which I will give a breakdown on how it's calculated, follows also again the municipal bylaws and rates laws. So therefore, a exempted person or property will be exempted as per the current CID's proposed rates. So I think the big part to me is about establishing a CID and why one would like to establish it. Again, I think Derek's touched on the fact that we live in a very unique town with a very unique space that is clearly has shown in many years and even more so in the last few years of what a unique place it is. So I think the idea simply is to create a safer and cleaner environment. The management thereof is quite important, so the coordination of that needs to be done through a structure, which I will touch on. But effectively, we're focusing on the CBD, key tourist areas, to make sure that they are clean, attractive, and economically active. We're looking to improve service delivery outside of the scope of the municipality itself. So we will not be fulfilling or taking over any municipal service. We are providing additional services. But the idea is to protect property values, boost our town's appeal, and then also create ownership amongst locals and contribute to the well-being of the town, which is all our responsibility if we want to live in a town that is going forward and not stagnating, as we've clearly seen many towns around us in, and also in South Africa in general. I think it's important, the focusing on the municipality for a little bit, that they are constrained and they aren't delivering the service. We can have hours of talks about lack of service delivery. We as the steering committee has largely focused on what we can add and do more to make it better and not on the failures. So without, again, maybe bashing the municipality for their lack of service delivery, we've rather seen the opportunity of how we can enhance our town. So I think very importantly, the four pillars that we all have now become accustomed to, but I think it's important that the business plan specifically informs these pillars, being biodiversity, social upliftment, public safety, cleaning and maintenance. Ironically enough, safety and social upliftment walk hand in hand, but so does the maintenance and the cleaning, because it all comes down to safety to a large degree. I think the important question that a lot of you have been asking is, what is this proposed geographic area? Who will be influenced? I think just a little bit of context before I just define it specifically. The specific bylaws states that you have to have an area proposed that has a higher than 80% collection rate in terms of their rates. So it is self-explanatory that a large part of the CID proposed area will not make that rate, and we actually, in proposing the original area, had to cut back on the proposed area, although we would have liked to have seen a bigger area. So simply put, the yellow is residential, which includes Spando, Bergendal, the Horseshoe, Sunnyside. The blue that we've indicated is the CBD business district, and then the purple is the industrial zone, which makes our CID very unique. At best, you'll see a CBD improvement area or residential. We've gone quite extensive of trying to incorporate most of our town for the benefit of this town. So this is the proposed area that fits the purpose of an 80%+ collection ratio. And I think just a point to raise that, yes, we could have probably included other areas, but to burden a taxpayer that's already in a position of not affording rates for various reasons further with the CID, we just felt wouldn't have been proactive or promotive of the CID and constructive. So the current proposed area, as you'll see it, this is being proposed to the municipality for sign-off and as with the council as well. So this geographic area we won't see changing. It can change. We do propose a five-year budget, which I'll touch on. But for now, the first 5 years, this is the proposed area. Things can change. So I think it's just important as it stands, this is where we're starting. So I think just a little bit on the processes to date. You've heard Derek mention that as of the 3rd of September, he's officially handed in the start and started the process of proposing the CID to the municipal officials. Significant amount of work is done. been done. We've obviously established the steering committee. This was done, Derek solicited our time last year, October already, with a few other processes, but I think our official steering committee meeting already happened in Feb, and they've been happening on a regular basis, sometimes twice a month, but generally once a month to start conceptualizing the idea. And I think it's just, again, to stand still and realize the effort that the steering committee has put in getting to a stage where we actually have a formal business plan. It's no mean feat to have achieved, conceptualized these ideas into a palatable presentation so that the community can see what's been done. I think the next big step for us was the urban management survey, and that was done by the local community. It is the proposed additional ratepayers, and it was approved by the executive mayor. I mean, sorry, manager, rather. I think it's just important to note that every step that we take needs sign off accordingly to the whole process. The document that we have is an Excel of about, I don't know, close to 300 lines of steps we have to follow. So it's a very, very stringent process that is absolutely not open to any misstep, considering the fact that we have set ourselves a goal to have our budget in with the municipality by February, which is by no means an easy task, but it allows us the opportunity to be fully active by June 2026. So I think the urban management survey then leads into the public participation plan, which we submitted. So the public participation meeting that we are holding tonight also needed a lot of paperwork to be submitted, processes. We also had to submit a draft business plan to the executive manager for his approval, so that, again, we've complied to every step. I think it's just good to note and understand that CIDs aren't a perfect thing. There's been some challenges. Cape Town, if you've read a little bit of the news, there is times when they do fail, not necessarily in service delivery, but in terms of following the steps and the correct steps to ensure that we are legal. So I think the important bit is the post this meeting, I think just from a step. So 30 days prior to our meeting, we need to have then had the public participate and give opinion on the business plan via the website directly to IMCA via email. So I think it's just very important to understand that the window is now open for participation and sharing of ideas, which we are open to. We're merely fulfilling the role of collating all the various information. So I think just a little bit of feedback on the urban management survey. So this was done from mid-September to mid-November. It was largely done via email, distributed from the municipal contact information. I think just a point on that, it's important that our ability to communicate to you as the community is also reliant on your information that you submit to the municipality. So your information, it needs to be corrected. It can be done via IMCA, and we can relay to the various municipal finance teams. But yeah, it is interesting to see that the data was not so current. But yeah, it is available on the website. So again, the questions were aligned to some of the meetings that we had in terms of focus groups. So each of the pillars that we've mentioned, we had focus groups. The questions that you all saw was based on the back of what we experienced and the community and the various people relayed to us about the shortcomings in each area. The meetings just quickly were held with identifying areas of concern, not solving problems. And I must admit, it was most constructive in most of the areas. Obviously, security is a big one, but every participating organization actually did attend, which was really heartening to see that the people have taken the proactive step of being involved. We've all obviously seen the WhatsApp groups and Facebook. I think Derek also is fond to remind us what a great role the Advertiser's newspaper has played. And I think we've personally seen firsthand of how big an influence that was in communicating and putting out notices. We all seem to think that Facebook is this miracle thing where if I've put it on, everybody's seen it. It's clearly shown that the engagement and the interactions have been, in some cases, 7 views on some of the notices we've put out on the Advertiser's website, which is indicative of how much of a role the newspaper has played. So I think just some key data on the urban management survey. We received 330 responses. We had a minimum requirement of 20%. Which is obviously, you can clearly see that's equivalent to 276. We had an interesting scenario where we had 267 unique property owners who responded. What that just basically means is that a entity such as a trust or a company, a private individual, can own properties, and we had property owners which ticked that boxes on multiples, which is important to understand that a property owner in a trust can only respond for one property of the trust. So the third and the fourth doesn't count as a response. It was just quite interesting. But yeah, we've achieved our target. And I think it's just good to understand that we also received additional 63. So people who additionally responded, the data is quite important for us to have built the business plan. But I think just very interesting for me, some of the highlights specifically was that there was a clear indication of supporting the concept of a CID. If that wasn't there in the urban management survey, I don't think we would have seen the participation tonight. But I think just from the steering committee side, the difficulty of presenting this would have been vastly different. But I think very importantly, more than half of the surveys showed that the people who return the surveys, they've been living here for more than 16 years. It is their primary residence. And however, there was an indication that the character of the town have changed. The question was open, so character can mean a lot of things for various peoples, but there's a clear indication that there was a need for establishment of a CID. I'm going to just highlight the security, social upliftment, cleanliness and maintenance, environmentals, key highlights. So I think just one more, Imke. So I think the most important part here is that the most strongest replies we've used to inform the budget or the proposed budget. So what we've highlighted here is, for example, one of the questions, is there enough visible policing? Clearly, if you look at the balance, there's a very strong opinion about that. So we've directly implemented that into the business plan. Again, a question like, would you feel safe walking in neighborhood if there were more cameras and patrolling? Self-explanatory, the responses that we've got. And again, the business plan was informed accordingly. Cleanliness, this definitely does affect us all. Cleanliness and environmental shows a lot of overlap. I think that's just important to understand that a sidewalk being clean and a sidewalk being maintained falls on both sides. So again, you would have seen questions that's got slight overlapping, but they were done for a specific reason, being that we can clearly identify where we need to address certain areas. So important one. A lot of people feel that the neighborhoods have become dirtier. Litter in public areas has been seen a problem, and it was quite easy to identify that there were insufficient bins, they weren't cleaned regularly, and accessible drop-off points is clearly an opportunity for us to address this. So I think litter in public areas, overwhelming response to that it is a problem. That ranges from litter in the street to illegal dumping sites, plastic bags, black bags lying about, not being cleaned. If we then go on to the maintenance environmental, there was a very strong response with our public amenities not being well serviced, the open parks, the braai areas, the gardens being not being maintained. But again, they come back to small things. There's no clear signage. There's no dustbins available. The toilet facilities is in poor state. And small things like mowing and weeding and tree planting would greatly improve these spaces. So again, as you'll see, there's a bit of an overlap with cleanliness. But these are things that we can address and tackle. One important thing, and I think we've all had some issues with refuse collection and black bags being open. But again, one of the areas we've identified a clear recycle system that can be put in place, can be followed if it is provided for. And people again have indicated that they are willing should that opportunity be available. I think just again, the graph clearly shows an overwhelming response towards our local facilities, public open spaces that is not in a great shape. Interesting with regards to the responses about things that we can do. So things that the CID is legally able to achieve and do within the confines of the municipal laws, mowing and weeding, fencing, toilet facilities. These are all things that us as the community can address for the betterment of our town. Social upliftment. This is an area that is, I think, a clear indication of our society, not necessarily us as individuals, but homelessness is a major concern, and it is a full-time concern. This is not just a concern that happens to be between 7 and 8 in the morning. It's a 24-hour problem, but it is a problem that exists not just in our specific proposed geographical area, but the whole of town. But it is important that we as a CID can address it and actually make a difference in solving it. It also relates to security and crime. Unfortunately, it is not most of the other areas we can quickly and proactively make physical hard change, but in social, it is an area that will take time to achieve. So I think just importantly, one of the points that I highlighted, at which time is it a problem? It is all the time. It's a clear indication from the Urban Management Survey. So I think the most important part of I think why a lot of us are here tonight is to see what is this business plan being proposed. I think just to stand fast there again, the Urban Management Survey provided the platform for the business plan. The steering committee merely collated it into a form where we, for example, would focus on security cameras or dustbins, and then we have then gone and collected information, being at quotes or information of how to address it. So again, we did not decide that we felt that patrolling guards is more important. The Urban Management Survey clearly indicated to us what is important, and we've compiled it. So post the meeting and the questioning, I think just important to keep that in mind. But again, we open for suggestions. So if you've gone through the Urban Management Survey and felt that we've missed something, we are open to discuss it. So I think just important going on to safety and security. I will show a detailed breakdown on the budget, but I just wanted to give you some highlights before I get there so that it has a little bit more context. So one of the important aspects for us as the CID steering committee was to identify things that's tangible, actionable, and fast moving so that we can see something happening. I think we've all been around long enough that we've seen people or organizations wanting to make an effect, but eventually not really achieving much tangible outcome. So in the first year of the proposal, safety and security will see 51% of the budget. This is mostly aimed at CCTV cameraing, monitoring over 24-hour patrolling guards that will be used. We'll have a centralized control room, and we will support community initiatives. I think just, again, important to understand the CID will not providing services. The CID will look to engage current community services that's available to us. Being at an MPO or private business, there is stringent procurement processes, so this is not a friends for friends scenario. We've identified CCTV cameras. We will then go to the local community businesses to get quotes so that they can then provide a solution to us. So I think just keep that in mind. We're not creating services, we identify them, and we will be achieving them by local business or organizations. Cleanliness and maintenance, again, the urban management survey informed this, but 20.6% of the first year's total expenditure will be going towards that. We're looking at solutions to maintain and clean public areas, support recycling efforts, and improve public and amenities. I think importantly, we would love to see everything fixed within a week, but I think just to understand that just as we currently are paying our rates, rates will be collected on a monthly basis. I'll expand on that a little bit later. So although we have a large amount for security, we can only do what we receive with monthly. So therefore, we will try and do our best to be visual and proactive if you propose and accept the business plan, but to understand that it does take time to execute based on the collection. Environmental development. What we've seen in the proposals that we've collected, again, there's a strong overlap. 8.4% of the first year's total expenditure will be going towards that. That will be to maintain vegetation and greenery, and again, upkeep and cleaning of public spaces. The two will supplement each other to achieve that. I think we quickly realized of how big a task it is to build a budget that we would all, for simple example, to see three new public restrooms. That's not necessarily achievable, but maintaining and cleaning the current ones is achievable. So that's how we focused and worked it. But I think we're looking to work with passionate individuals in the town already taking care of it. And I think it's important to highlight that the CID, although the organization will be implementing and managing, the participation of the additional ratepayers is as important. I think the best way to describe it currently, we sit back and say, they did not achieve service delivery, but we didn't actually really participate. With the CID, we actually have the opportunity to participate in the various actions. And that could be your financial money, it could be your intellect, it could be your physical time. There's various opportunities to participate and be involved in the actual structure and also the physical work that's ahead of us. Social upliftment is seeing the smallest budget allocation in the first year. I will show that in year 2 to 5 it will ramp up. But what we've realized is there is no clear social organization that has been able to address homelessness, for example. We do not have a shelter. So to try and achieve this without a sustainable plan will end up in a quick reaction, but probably not a sustainable solution. What we've done is have engaged with a specialist with regards to the social aspect of the broader community town, and that's from homelessness to drug abuse to family values, amongst many things, to actually help us develop a plan in the first year so that we can action in year 2 and have a sustainable plan. It's no mean feat. So although from a physical money allocation, we will be developing an actual business plan that will supplement the social upliftment aspect. So therefore, in year 1, we're seeing financially a smaller budget. So I think the big question is, how much am I going to be paying? How does this work? What am I in for? What we've done is we collected all the property values of town, just like the municipality would. We've added it all up and we've split it into residential and non-residential. So if you can, for example, see If I'm going to just jump quickly one slide at the top, Imke, just one forward. The total proposed budget is 5 million. That was done with a balance on figures, but you can go one back. So if we come back to the proposed budget for residential and non-residential, we've gone and looked at the average price that the local municipal valuation of your property is done. So that figure comes to a number of 1.334 million. I'm not going to read the rest, otherwise I'm going to sound like Jacob. But effectively, that amounts to a including VAT rate of 286.48 rand for the average property in the residential space. In the commercial space, obviously the rates is different. We've split the budget accordingly to the property value. I think the total value that we calculate is about 2.4 billion in property value. Bright Price can probably correct me there. What we've done is the commercial represents roughly two-thirds of that. Residential is one-third, and that's how we've split it. So the top right, you'll see a rate in the rand, and that figure is used to calculate based on your property municipal valuation. Okay. So again, within the CID's bylaws, this is also proposed, and it's done accordingly. The split is within the steering committee's ambit of trying to find a balance for everybody. This is the most sensible that we've achieved in terms of the budget. Again, open for opinion or discussion post the meeting to make it better. But I think this is a reasonable outcome. What we basically did is, I think, just the rateable properties in the area for perspective, including the whole proposed, is 1,665, where that's the total amount of properties. So I think if we just use that as a base, so before we do the split, that roughly amounts to 275 rand a rate payer per month. Obviously, certain properties holds more value, and we have to adjust that accordingly. There was no intention to rate one area specifically higher other than what the actual municipal valuation is. So off to the budget for the first year. So effectively, the 5 million was a number that we have identified that we felt that we could reasonably propose to the ratepayers that would be reasonable relative to the current rates and something that is worthwhile trying to attend or achieve. I think it's just important that of that, the core business, the CID's work, it roughly represents 4.25 million, 4.25. You'll see a general expenditure. The CID also importantly has overheads that they have to maintain to be able to run and operate. So that figures, with Imke having been full-time employee, we've been keeping a diligent budget on monthly expenditures, on advertising, the normal office expenses. I will highlight that a little bit later. But again, although the figures do look a little bit round, they are informed by fairly actual information that we've corrected. I think important, just part of the CID's bylaws, a 3% of the budget that we propose needs to be held back for bad debts. That money is held back by the municipality as per the legislation, but it is ours, so should everybody contribute, then that is in money that we will receive back. We've proposed increases over the first 5 years that will obviously, you'll see an increase in terms of the additional rates. That's obviously to keep track of inflation and being able to pay service providers. We are cognizant that just merely writing down a number of 10 million or escalating by 10 or 12% annually is not sustainable. We have to find a balance to actually sustain a project that can serve everybody. So I think just if we can go on to the next one, Inka. So I mentioned the percentages. It's, I think, just what does that mean? So, for example, in the first year, CCTV monitoring for security patrolling guards roughly represents 2.5 million. It's quite a significant amount of money that we have available to make a difference. What you'll see is between the various sections is that they increase and decrease all accordingly as we go along. So year one, again, coming back to the fact that we're looking to achieve actionable visual change. So, for example, security is very topical for everybody. But once the infrastructure is in, we can then get into a position where we onto a call it a care and maintenance, but also the patrolling guards, you'll see we can increase to have more patrolling guards. There's various aspects of 24-hour patrolling in all neighborhoods in the proposed area to promote safety. And again, you'll see, for example, social upliftment, as I mentioned, that starts seeing a steeper increase in terms of budget spend. We are, I think Derek's mentioned, we are allowed to look for additional funding outside of the CID. So certain aspects within the budget can be supplemented. And so, for example, social upliftment, we feel strongly that if we develop a strong enough plan, that we'll be able to get outside funding to support these initiatives. So I think just as a total core business spend, that will increase, but effectively we can spend about 80% of what we collect towards the actual actionable items. So I think just quickly on the general expenses, Derek's highlighted Inca's hard work, probably worth three times the salary. But, you know, we've been quite modest. Realistically, we'll probably need one or two more hands in terms of the management of the CID. But again, bank charges, these are all relevant expenses that we've incurred the last year. Protective clothing, stationery. So it's not a dreamt up number. Again, if there's opinion or additions or thought that we might have missed, please let us do know. Ideally, we probably would have liked to have made provision for a second person in terms of the administration and management. But for now, realistically, this is where we're at. So I think the big thing is, again, governance. Is it my money? Is it the municipality's money? Whose money is this? How does it work? I just want to spend a little bit of time, and I'm gonna actually read it to you because I think it's quite important for the peace of everybody here to understand of how the process flow is in terms of collection and the money and the governance. So I think it's important. It will the CID will be operated by a non-profit company as under the Companies Act. The companies of the CID, we've already actually established this NPC. It's already a legal entity. We've been very proactive to create that. But importantly, and this is the part where I'm really talking to you, the additional ratepayer. The steering committee will act as the founding directors until the members' meeting is held within the first 6 months. The municipality does not manage daily operation or the finances, but provides oversight and ensures compliance. They're merely there to see that we comply within our laws and how we've been doing it. A council is appointed by the executive mayor that will be attending as an observer. He's got no influence. He does not participate. He's there as an observer to see again that we are acting within what we've said we would do. Membership is free for eligible ratepayers in the area, subject to completing the application. Only registered non-profit company members have voting rights. A board of directors will be elected by the members' meeting, and all nominees must be NPC members. The board will appoint a chairperson and assign portfolios to directors to oversee the specific activities. We will govern ourselves. We will be fully in charge of the budget that I've just shown you. Nobody else. So if this is a complete failure, we have to look each other in the street and say, we failed. I think to me, this is such a wonderful opportunity. For the first time, I'm not reliant on somebody that has been elected by somebody that I don't even know, and I have to hope that they deliver their service or promises that they made every 4 years. And not all of them are bad people. There's wonderful municipal officials. There's wonderful councillors. But the reality is we have to be reliant on somebody else to deliver service. Here, we will be actually part of the The sustainability depends on the effective management of the service providers. A CID manager will be appointed to run the daily operation, manage the providers, communicate with the stakeholders, and handle the administration. I think importantly, the CID operates on a 5-year cycle with a new plan presented on the 5th year of the AGM for approval. Budgets can change within the first 5 years. If within the first year we feel that we need a change, we can implement it. It's actually a wonderful, wonderful system. So I think just important, members may dissolve the CID at any time. So again, we've got control. If it doesn't work out, we can dissolve it. Hope for it never to be in that position at all. But again, we sitting here all have a chance to actually participate and be in charge. The money, for example, will flow to our own bank account where we'll do our own distributions accordingly to our own procurement processes. So really great opportunity to actually have control. I think if we then just move on to communication, which I think is very key to this, to launching, communicating, not just today, not in the next month, not at the next public participation meeting, but also in the establishment going forward. You know, we've created multiple communication channels. As I've mentioned previously, it's difficult getting hold of you, the community. If it wasn't for IMCA and her dubious ways of ensuring people completing the urban management survey, but extreme amount of effort's been made. You've seen people handing out flyers. We've gone back to sort of hand-to-hand handouts. I think Tyron's here. He was a key driver. I think I saw you this side, Tyron. But people are really taking to communicate. But importantly, ensuring your details are up to date with us is also important. We've created the website. Very simple: GRTCID, Grafenet Community Improvement District. All information. This presentation, the power, the business plan is all available. But I think the communication, I just wanted to highlight, it goes both ways. We've done a lot of effort on promoting, emailing. Again, IMCA, we've emailed the 1,665 people. We followed up with them. It's an enormous task, but the big thing comes down to transparency and what we do. Will people be comfortable? How do they see the business plan? How do they see the spend? Websites and social media is nice. There's a physical element that people would also like to see. But I think it's important that we are really geared to be as open as far as possible. Nothing is, I wouldn't say off limits, but everything is available. If you can't find it on a website, IMCA's info@grtcid is available to get information. We've got a dedicated WhatsApp line. We've got a dedicated cell phone number to communicate. You can also indicate your preference for communication. We do know that sometimes email addresses change or even cell phone numbers. So please, we are open. But from our side, I think the big thing is to ensure regular communication to the proposal of the CID, the proposed additional rate-paying members, so that everybody is well-informed. So I think the business plan as a concept is now being proposed. So I think just what is the next step? I think the next 30 days starts basically tomorrow, and it closes on the 12th of January. We are open for comments. Again, the email address is there. On the actual website, you can also fill in that form that he always feels like goes into a bottomless pit, that communicate or please contact me one. But we do have availability on the website just to also be contacted or send a message. You've seen the cell phone number. That is also our dedicated WhatsApp line. We are now open for comments, additional to some of the questions that might be raised tonight. I think just importantly, before we get to that part, we are legally obliged to record this meeting. I've got a mic on that is here. The mic that we were passing around will record the comments, which we then have to transcribe and also publish on the website. So just if you're uncomfortable with that scenario, just be aware we are recording, merely for the fact that it is a legal requirement as part of the public participation process. We will establish focus groups on the 17th and 18th of December, just depending on indication. We're looking to probably, considering time of year, do either the 17th or the 18th, which is next week already, but where people can come and engage, share opinions, provide opinions, ask questions. Again, it's one of our processes and steps that we need to follow. But I think the most important date to take note of is the 15th of January, when we will be holding our second public meeting, where the business plan will then be proposed in its final form to be able to be voted on, which then leads us to a 30-day commentary window. But I think importantly, voting also then starts, and that starts on the 16th of January as well, and it will be running till the 16th of March. Voting is via the website. There is also hard copy voting, but I think importantly, the next month and a half is vital in actually engaging and having a look at the business plan and provide opinion. But I think it's important that the window for voting is open should the final business plan be presented. Post the vote, we need to achieve a 60% plus one vote. So simple maths, we need 1,100 votes to get the CID approved. We may be seeing 10% of the voters here tonight. So it's going to be no mean task should everybody feel as excited as we are about the opportunity. But I think it's important that we need to be able to present our business plan, the budgets, the whole shooting match in March, so that council can vote on it and approve the budget that we can officially be promulgated. So I think it's quite important that what we've said tonight is taken to heart. This is a draft. This is not my opinion, IMCA, Derek, steering committee's opinion. This is what you, as the people who have participated thus far, have indicated key concerns. We've merely collated that into a palatable budget that we can achieve a difference for everybody. So thank you very much. So I think there's certainly going to be a few questions. What we've proposed to do is some of them will be legal in nature. Some of them might be past experience. Derek will probably take the lead here with answering some of the technical questions. The rest of the steering committee is also here to answer. Everybody from our side is willing to engage. I think just practically, keep it to one question at a time. Derek, in one of our public engagements, it's just easier and clearer to answer and follow. We do not mind a follow-up question as a next question on a second turn, but one question per person just to start off with. I think that's just reasonable to give everybody a fair opportunity to pose a question. And in some of the engagements that we've had really good questions, although not necessarily on the positive side towards the implementation, but they were really informative. They also helped us develop the urban management survey, and some of that frequently asked questions you'll see on the website, some of that's come out of these engagements. So, although we encourage to be positive, but you know, we're here to answer the questions as they arise within the reason of the bylaws and the policies. Just importantly, again, Tracy will be so kind to pass the mic around. It will be recorded, but just speak clearly so that we can transcribe it and have it available post the meeting. Thank you.
The question I have is, do we as a CID have somebody that has access to the financial, the town's accounts to make sure that, in fact, all the monies that were given off, all the invoices, all the accounts, gets into our account? And I therefore suspect it would be ring-fenced, correct?
Yes, correct. So there will be a lot of oversight. You will be billed with your municipal account. In your municipal account will be the levy you're going to pay to the CID. That will be swept off a special account through the municipal coffers to us and administered by the company. There's a great deal of oversight here. Yes, Liz. Sorry, there's the mics over there.
I'll bring it back to you now.
Good evening. I've just got one pertinent question I want to understand. The CID works in the Western Cape.
Yes.
And it works well according to what I've seen there. My question is, we create a CID within Graaff-Reinet. Where is that going to leave us with the current Dr. Beyers Naudé local municipality, which is not under DA, and we know why it's failing? Where is that going to leave us? Where do we draw the line, and when do we stop jumping over hurdles?
Sean, it's a typical question, and it's relevant. In the Eastern Cape, we have three municipalities that are functional, not without difficulty, including Dr. Beyers Naudé. You can decide that because your perception is the municipality is failing, that we should not do anything. That's your one choice, and you therefore walk away from this initiative. Or you can be more positive about it, and I must tell you this, that it's not only ANC councils that are failing. Okay, about 90% of municipalities are insolvent. They're under-resourced, and they fail for various reasons, not only political. We are apolitical, so I don't want to get caught up in a political debate. But what I can tell you is this. If you do nothing, you will end up like Grahamstown, Queenstown, King Williamstown, East London, Port Elizabeth, Uitenhage, Somerset East, Craddock, Middleburg. If you do nothing. I don't even know if that answers your question. But what I want to try and develop, Sean, is a sense of responsibility for ourselves. And it's like a municipality within a municipality. We will be administering outside of the municipal coffers, but involved with local government without being political. And you will decide on the spend and oversee it. Does it help you?
Thank you. I know that a position was advertised in the municipality for somebody to liaise with the CID.
Okay.
But I don't know if that position has been filled. No. I actually think it hasn't been.
Yeah.
But I wonder whether you can tell us, is there somebody in the municipality who is going to be working with the CID?
Yeah, listen, it's a good question. We're not directly involved in how they're going to administer it, but at the moment, it's the CFO is charged with the CID, and his department is. They're going to need people. Cape Town's got a whole floor of people. They're running a big city with 54 CIDs, so they will lack capacity to deal with this. This process is new. It's been implemented this year. It's going to be part of the budgeting process of the municipality. It's going to be part of the IDP. So it's all going to be new, and they're going to have to cater for it within their structures and in their planning and probably impact on our rates as well. Yeah.
Good evening, Mr. Derk. My question relates to stability.
Stability?
Stability. If you take into cognizance the processes which led up to the CID, for example, the exclusion or the identification of only five areas. Now, what guarantee do we have that the CID will bring stability? As you know, that stability is very important for investments and for local economic development. And so what guarantee is that the CID? And in this particular guarantee, is it that the CID will stand isolated, or is there any other kind of support for the CID with the idea of stability? Thanks.
I don't know how long I'm still going to be around. And one must be careful what you promise. I don't think I can guarantee stability. I can guarantee that if you do nothing, there'll be lack of stability. I can also say to you, that if we get this off the ground and we as a community do something for ourselves, there are influential role players in this community that are outside of the special rates area that have committed to becoming involved. And I am confident that we will achieve a lot more as a team, attracting investment and therefore opportunity for everybody. Than if we do nothing. If you are proactive as a community, it gets noticed. People notice your town. You know, people already say when they drive through, yes, my yet the skoon dorp. It's a bit of a fallacy because they don't get to all the streets where it's not so clean. You follow. But we do. And if we can make a difference in that sense, I'm very confident that we're going to get substantial investment outside of our own activities. There are certain projects which we cannot achieve through 1,600 ratepayers at 250 rand a month. Next year we're 240 years old. Our town hall is a disgrace. We're going into a centenary celebration. We've had quotes done, 14 million rand to do a repair job there. It's not within capacity of this group of people to manage that. But I'm confident, and this goes for security as well, that you show commitment from this community to uplift itself, that the rest will follow. Stability is essential to our general well-being. And the world is not a stable place at the moment. Europe's not stable. The Americas are not stable. The Middle East is not stable. South Africa's got its own challenges. But where we live, we're a lot more stable in a global context than many other places. But it's going to take effort from you and I. That's why I wanted younger people here. If this thing gets off the ground, it's not a one-year thing or somewhere just another committee or whatever. It's a formal statutory body that will outlive the people in this room if it succeeds. But it's got to be driven by the community and people like yourself to make it work. I can't give that your antwoord nie. Does it help you? Yeah. Correct.
So ek dink aan die einde van die dag, as daar met 'n gedetailleerde oog gekyk word hierna, en alle faktore word in ag geneem, en alle rolspelers word ingetrek, dan dink ek kan ons tot 'n groot mate, nie heeltemal nie, tot 'n groot mate sekerheid het in terme van stabiliteit, waarin die groei heeltemal.
Ek stem saam, en dis ook om ons met al die bevolkingsgroepe, alle gebiede in ons dorp gekonsulteer het, om insette van die gemeenskap te kry. Die vergaderings was nie altyd goed bygewoon nie, maar die vrae wat gevra was, in die voorstelle wat gemaak is, was baie insiggewend. Maar dit is my opinie, en ek sou nie vandag hier gestaan het as dit anders was nie, is dat ons moet buite die geographic area kyk, en kyk na die behoeftes van die gebiede waar daar minder bevoorregte mense is, as daar stabiliteit moet wees, en as ons werklike sekuriteit wil hê. Anders kan jy soos Gramstad wees, where you've got three elite schools, that are little islands in their community, islands of excellence, maar die kinders kan nie uit die hek uitstap om 'n koeldrank te gaan drink nie. We don't want that in this town. You must be safe, I must be safe, my children must be safe, in my case, my grandchildren. So, yes, heeltemal reg. It's got to be a community-driven thing that's mindful of the needs of its entire community. Yes, sir. Tjeroor.
Mrs. Chairman, just one thing that concerned me a bit in the projections on the screen.
Yeah.
It said it will be supervised by the municipality.
Yes.
I think it was on about the third or fourth page. Okay.
Yes.
I'm a bit worried about that word supervised, because the municipality, it's not its strongest point, is supervision. So what exactly was meant by supervised?
It's something that comes from the Act and the bylaws. We as a community, it's a community-driven thing to want to establish the SRA, and I've stuck my neck out to apply for that. It gets approved at council level. Once the community has approved it, it gets approved at council level. They will have somebody on the board, not a voting director, but it's an additional check and balance to protect the ratepayer. There is a supervisory role, but that isn't where it ends. They've got a very limited role, but they do have oversight of what we're doing. So that they see, because our budget gets approved by their council, and they've got a certain measure of oversight to see that we're doing what we said we were going to do. But the oversight is far bigger than that. Sorry?
Oversight is better than supervision.
Yeah, oversight is a better word than supervision. It's not supervision. It's oversight. And what's very important to understand is that this is a creature of statute. There's an act of parliament that makes this possible. It's community-driven, but it's through a municipal structure. It's administered by the community through a non-profit company. The ratepayers can elect to become members. Those that are affected by the additional rate can elect to become members. They elect a board of directors. The running of a company is governed by the Companies Act, and it's got strict conditions as to how a company must be run, what the duties of directors are. It's got to have an external auditor, you've got an in-house auditor, and a company secretary. We've gone a step further. We've asked for a company secretary. It was not demanded of us in law. So there's going to be a lot of oversight, and it's essential. The oversight the municipality plays is very limited, but it is a statutory requirement that they have It's like the Owl House, for example, in New Bethesda. They've got a councillor that's supposed to sit on their board meetings and see that things are being run properly. We didn't invent it.
I'm just worried that if you get people who, let's say, are difficult for various reasons, that they may misuse their oversight. I don't know how that would be dealt with.
Yeah, we'll have to deal with the issues as we find them. Gerald, it's new to us. The administration is as excited about it as we are currently. Politicians are elected, and they may or may not be DA or ANC or EFF or whatever. It doesn't matter. Their council will approve of what we're doing. Part of what we had to do, for example, was engage with the ward councillors in the affected wards, which I think were 2 and 4. It's a statutory requirement, so we met with them. But we went further to get back to that gentleman's point. We wanted to be inclusive of everybody. So we met with all the ward councillors that would meet with us to tell them what was motivating us and why we wanted to do this. And every single one of them bought into it. We saw them as individuals, and they're from different political parties and persuasions. We cannot predict, Gerald, what some councillor might do in 5 years' time when he's got to be in his bonnet about something. But there are laws, and there's a memorandum of incorporation that will govern how we run our company. There's a Companies Act. There's a Municipal Property Rights Act. They've got to operate within that. People step out of line, they can be pulled into line. So I don't anticipate the sort of issues. It doesn't mean they won't happen, but we'll deal with them when they do happen.
Thank you. There was mention made about safety. Here we are. Mention made about safety and CCTV cameras and all that.
Yes.
Now, we know there's a lot of cameras up and running already in Grafnet.
Yeah.
Awesome. It works. Now, my question is, the safety of the town, like I said, are there enough policemen? Are there enough people to police Grafnet? CDK is here that assist. Smart is here that assist. SEPS is here to assist as well. But my question is, how is CID going to incorporate the justice system if smart CDK and the police arrested the people, but in the afternoon the same people are out again? Those CCTV cameras, they're not going to assist. My question is, how are we going to be safe? Like you said, we want to walk out. We don't want to be an island for Grafnet on its own.
I'll deal with that. You've covered a lot of ground there. And perhaps this room should know that the law enforcement agencies in this town, national and local, lack capacity and resources. They cannot do their job. Okay? They do not have the resources, they do not have the personnel. The private security companies play a role to fill a gap, but they also have limitations. So I'm not a security expert, but what we have done is consult with the entire focus group that deals with security in this town. Municipal law enforcement, SAPS, all the private security companies, the private initiatives that are run by people like Mr. Aramsa and Mr. Fenter. We've spoken and gathered information from all of them and identified needs and so on. There's a need to revisit bylaws, for example. There's a need to enforce bylaws. We've landed on our desk today and yesterday a proposal from a national company on security, which has a holistic approach to this. For example, at the moment, cameras are largely recording what has already happened when you view the footage. We need 24-hour monitoring, we believe, has come out of our urban surveys and our consultation with experts. 24-hour surveillance, immediate response to prevent crime rather than to try and fix it afterwards. Police visibility is an issue. is a new opportunity that came out of our discussions where possibly the police academy can provide feet on the ground so that you've got visible policing on the pavements. We'll be looking at bylaws governing car guards, for example, registration of those and so on. So it's a holistic approach to crime, but there are, and that's why we're here. If there was no issue on safety and security, we wouldn't be here. 90% of CIDs came to existence because of safety issues and security issues. That's why they came into being. They came from neighborhood watches developed into something bigger. So there's got to be a holistic approach. And Vessel pointed out to you, for example, that there's an overlap between social issues and safety and security. It's obvious. He's sleeping on your stoop. He's hungry. He needs a drug fix. He breaks into your office. There are numerous issues. And it starts with law enforcement, bylaws, but it's not a complete solution to load an oak into a police van and to take him out of the precinct. You should be addressing the reason why he's in the street. So it's a bigger picture thing, but we're mindful of the lack of capacity of law enforcement, and it's something that we have to address as a group. And the proposal we now have on our table doesn't mean it's going to be adopted by the company, offers those solutions, and it emphasizes the vital importance of communication between the various arms of law enforcement, private security, and the like, so that you have a coordinated, controlled response to security.
Thank you for a very thorough presentation. I want to just ask, I'm not sure whether this is out of line, but with reference to urban development and protecting the value of our properties,
yes.
Is there room within the CID, you know, within the last year or two, there have been numerous cases where there's been indiscriminate destruction of heritage buildings, pop-up of businesses in residential areas, and that ruins the value of your property. Is there room within the CID for the control of these things?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Johan, heritage is an important part of our town for various reasons, and obvious reasons, and I tried to touch on it in my introduction. We did involve, for example, Peter Whitlock was very helpful in our focus group discussions on issues that heritage issues. When we say we're going to clean a park, for example, Angel Park, if you were to something that's within our reach is to repair Angel Park and to maintain it and to keep it clean. Town Hall is a bigger challenge. We've got to go beyond that. But there's, Johan, a lot of the difficulties we experience in our country and in this village is a lack of law enforcement, not a lack of laws, okay? And a lack of communication between each person trying to do his own little thing. So the Heritage Society has got some wonderful people on its committee. It's got architects, it's got all sorts of talented people, but they're restricted in what they can achieve for various reasons, but also because of statute and a lack of authority. But if it's properly implemented, the National Heritage Act and the National Building Act and Regulations, if they are properly implemented and policed and there is communication between the various bodies that make up those that must protect our heritage, then it could be very efficient. So we've got to re-establish. I went through an unpleasant experience in the last year, which you may have referenced now. But what became apparent out of that whole exercise was the lack of communication between local authority, the local heritage society, and the provincial heritage society. There was like zero communication. And people didn't really understand what their role was within that. The CID can facilitate these things, can reopen channels of communication so that we all pull in the same direction. And that's really what it's about. And that's why Vessel made a point of saying, we're not going to reinvent the wheel. We want to lend capacity and resources to credible entities or organizations to better achieve what they must achieve. But in that process, we've got to work closely with the municipality and improve communication. It's the same with security. You can't think you're going to fix Graphnet security if you don't engage with the South African police services or municipal law enforcement or smart security or whoever. It's got to, these lines of communication are what are going to be re-established so that we can all move towards a common goal. You are young, old enough and young enough to remember when we had our bicentenary celebrations in Graafrenet, and the late Dr. Rupert had made money available through a trust to restore the facades of hundreds and hundreds of little Graafrenet houses. That took initiative from a person, but it took buy-in from the local authority, took buy-in from the community, and Jan, we've got to stop blaming people and just start talking to each other and making the good structures that work efficient, and those that are not efficient, discard them. But we must achieve for this town what we best can achieve by talking to each other. I hope sort of answers you.
Just a quick one. First of all, I think it's very impressive what you guys have done. Your entire team, your committee, Emke, is brilliant. But particularly the input by the community, which is so vital. Absolutely brilliant. Now, my question is, when it comes to that voting and nominations and questions and all, is it a public participation meeting? Is it by internet, by WhatsApp? What's the situation there?
Vessel will correct me if I'm wrong. We're going to come to, once this meeting is done, those of you that want to give comment or input on what you've been presented with today will do so within a 30-day period. We will then present a final budget at the second meeting in January for approval when we need 60% plus one.
And then you'll apply for membership and then members and will then have a meeting to vote.
Yeah. Flowing from those meetings, two things happen. We submit the final application to the local authority for approval. Those members that want to become members of the company, those ratepayers that want to become members of the company, then become members. They apply for membership, they get membership. They will then elect a board of directors that will run with the administration of the company once we've got municipal approval. The approval process goes hand in hand with the municipal budget process. So it's part of the budgetary process in the council chambers. And that should occur so that we can implement from 1 July of next year. The indecent haste with which we have had to work doesn't feel that way when you've been doing it for a year, but the deadlines are hectic to achieve those cut-off dates. Yes, sir.
My question relates to the first table that was projected on the screen. It depicted the proposed finances for the income relating to the rates adjustment. The right-hand column gives a figure including VAT. Now, if it's based on the property rates and that is based on your valuation, then the rates are not VATable.
Make a note of it.
So I was just wondering if there's another element that is incorporated in your calculation.
I can't answer that, but it's a very. I'm glad you raised it. I don't believe there is that. Is there that in there? It's not a valuable supply.
How about we a private company, NPC?
Garth, we'll just check that. Because of our status as an NPC, it might be different to the local authority. We'll double check that. That's why I employ clever people. And auditors, I actually can't answer you.
Derek, you replied to the previous question before God. What worries me when you say the once you've gone through the process, the municipality has got to approve.
Yeah.
What happens if they don't approve? Where do you stand then?
We'll take them on review if we have to. Davi, I haven't anticipated that. I don't believe that will happen, but if it were to happen, it will be for a good reason, perhaps. They might refer it back to us. Last year, the budget that the municipality proposed was not adopted first time round. that to go back and then and be, you know, represented. They couldn't stop it for no good reason. If they were to do that, it would be a reviewable action. But it would be a problem. We would have to deal with it. They're going to be hard-pressed to turn down something the community has already approved. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Yes, I just want to say thank you to everybody for all of the hard work that they put in. And I just want to say, I think if we look at the municipality and we look at the initiative that you took, we are really grateful that we can look forward to improvement in our town. I think we've got a lot of questions, but there's so much work that you've already done in here and so much research and so many regulations and everything that you had to comply to. So I just want to say, I think we put our trust in you and we have faith in you. And I know it's a representation of our whole community in Graaffreinet and beyond. Thank you so much.
Hierdie gemeenskap will always surprise you. Ons het goeie mense. Die handjie vol mensies wat hier sit, is verteenwoordiging van ons gemeenskap, maar julle het hulle nie verkies nie. But they're good people. En hulle harte is in die regte plek. En julle gaan 'n raad van direkteure verkies nog, wat julle vertrou en wat die paadjie gaan loop, maar ek waardeer jou jou opmerkings, maar ook vir almal wat hier is. Dit maak dit die moeite werd. Ek moet net meld, this didn't happen at no cost. Dis baie ure in, baie werk in, en ons was gelukkig om befondsing te kry om dit moontlik te maak. Om dit moontlik te maak om iemand soos Imke in diens te neem, byvoorbeeld. So daar is baie mense wat 'n bydra gemaak het en ons is dankbaar daarvoor. Dankie, Ilse.
Ja, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank you guys. I think you're doing a fantastic job. The whole committee, you, the process, special everybody. You know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we started our little village, which is a farming community, 80,000 hectares, just over the mountain here, 18 farmers. There was not much cooperation going on between the communities, and since we've started that, we've now got a conservancy there, and it's a little village, really. It's just fantastic. We are safe. There, we work together, we raise a lot of money, which we spend in our community, help our staff, and help ourselves. We high graders to grade our own road, although it's been graded now again, I see, amazingly. And I just want to say, if the community doesn't grab this opportunity, I've been here all my life, Mr. Chairman, and it's a wonderful place to live.
Yeah.
Although I don't live in town, some people would say I do. But I really want to congratulate you guys, and if the community doesn't grasp this opportunity with both hands, I think it'll be a real pity. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks for that, John. I think... Together we can do a lot more than...
Good evening. I'm not a... I don't have a question. May I say something?
Yes, please.
I am a security company owner, and we work in 54 different towns, all the way from Mthatha to Cape Town.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing when you go to the Western Cape and you look at the place like Wilderness, where property prices tripled. In McGregor, property prices tripled because of the crime. That there is no crime at the moment. And you will see how the property prices in this town will increase and how this town will create wealth, and that will benefit the poor people on the other side of the road as well, because suddenly there will be a lot of opportunities for work and a lot of more shops and businesses going up in this town. And it is terrible. If you look at Johannesburg, prices of houses, it's only at the moment in Northcliff, you can only get about 50% of what the property was worth. Property in Northcliff at the moment go for about 3 to 4 million, where they used to go for 20 million. And you don't want the same thing to happen in this town. But what I see here, what's happening, is that we're really going to boost this town, and it will be such a fantastic little town to come and retire, to come and stay, and to come and visit. And if you look at McGregor, you battle over weekends to get a place to stay in McGregor. Because everybody goes to McGregor because it's a safe haven. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Colin. Thanks, Colin, for that positive input and for participating in our focus groups. And thank you.
I'd just like to say, you know, I've been here in Graaff-Reinet just for 1 year now. Yes. And where I come from, I was a farmer there, and I was highly involved in the security company for our own farmers. And it cost us thousands a month per farmer.
Yeah.
And the crime was bad.
Yeah.
And I've come to live here, and I can see why people come here. It's a lekker place. And I wish you luck. And I tell you what, I'd like to tell every resident here how lucky they are. Because even the local town where I came from is horrendous. So let's stand together and let's all get involved and support you guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Two more questions and I think we must call it a night. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Lane. A last remark from my side. I think it's very important if we truly want to be successful with the CID, it's very important for the people of Graaff-Reinet to own the CID. The CID be a reflection of the thoughts and the planning and the feelings of the people of Graaff-Reinet. It becomes suspicious and not very nice, uncomfortable, if references is being made that this particular idea comes from the Western Cape. And we know that the Western Cape is coupled with the DA.
Yeah.
Immediately we are going to think, but this is a hidden, this thing is undercover.
Yeah.
It is political driven instead of being very sincere. So I think seriously that we, our own mindset, our own thoughts, our own plans, I think that is going to put us in a very strong position. Even, I think it will speak to the concerns when it comes to bylaws. Because one bylaw can cancel another bylaw and our position when it comes to the municipality. So I think we really ought to own this CID. Thank you very much.
That's vital. You've hit the nail on the head. And I tried to say in my introduction that we as a community must take ownership of our town. It's not DA-driven. The fact that we referenced Western Cape, it's the only example we had to follow, and this municipality hadn't yet developed bylaws. The statute is a national statute, not a provincial or local government statute. It's a national government. But you're right. The moment this thing gets a political label to it, we're gone. And ek kan nie deel wees daarvan nie, en ek sal ook nie wees nie. En die mense met wie ek saam gewerk het tot nou toe sal ook nie wees nie. But you're quite right. If the moment it gets that label, we're dead in the water. It's got to be a community-driven Graaff-Reinet thing. Last question, please.
Eric, I'd also like to just say thank you to you guys for the work that you've done so far. As a fairly new resident to Graaff-Reinet, I quickly come to realize that we live on an island. Graaff-Reinet, like most small towns, is an island. If we're not attracting outside revenue to this place, we are putting a band-aid on a gaping wound.
Yeah.
many of our social ills that you see there are indicative to the entire country.
Yeah.
Creating a homeless shelter for homeless people is putting a band-aid on a bleeding jugular. A lot of the key to this is to create income that comes from without our borders of our small town and without our borders of our country.
Yeah.
We face many ills in this country, and they're not going to get better. Only this week, people in Botswana from the drug cartels in South America were arrested illegally entering Botswana. A month ago, those cartels were found to have infiltrated this country. That changes the landscape of Africa and our country dramatically. If we do not accept that there's going to be change in this country and in our little town, we're in trouble. We are going to head the same way that all other small towns head. So we have to try not to do the band-aid, not solve the symptom, but solve the problem.
Yeah.
And a lot of those problems get created by job creation. So I understand that we are going to address a lot of the symptoms in cleaning these places. And I talk from a very selfish point of view, being an entrepreneur and having invested in this town. If we do not make this landscape a comfortable landscape to bring outside investors in to invest in this town, you are dead in the water. There is not enough money in this little town to circulate, to keep it alive. If we are not doing things to attract more tourism to this place and create more jobs, the homelessness is just going to increase. With what's happening with technology, that homelessness and that unemployment is going to go far beyond the general boundaries that we now face. It is not a black problem in this country. It is not a colored problem in this country. It is going to be a general problem. The advent of AI is going to make many, many people unemployed. We have to check what we have. We have tourism. We have a few small communities that can benefit from tourism. If we do not create the jobs to support people in this environment, and it might mean some people being a little bit uncomfortable with the things that ways and people have to change their traditional outlook on this town. If we do not make it comfortable for investment, we are dead.
Thanks, Brad. Yeah, I think, Brad, we're very fortunate, and I count you among them, and we've got Mashenka sitting here, and Honor. We have attracted investment. We've attracted massive investment. But you're absolutely right. We've got to create an environment that's conducive to investment, and unemployment leads to all these other ills. I was listening to the Tory leader speak in the British media today about the fact that the numbers of people unemployed and living on social grants in Britain exceed in number the total population of a number of European countries. So it's not peculiar to South Africa, but it is an issue. And you can only attract investment if you create an environment that's conducive to that. So it's really the, it should be, as the gentleman pointed out earlier, Carl, it should have a knock-on effect. If you create a safe, healthy environment, it's attractive to people to invest in, to come and live in. It follows. Thank you. I think that probably does us. Just remember, the period for comments and questions is open now. From tomorrow, you can bombard us until the 15th of January. And thank you again so much for being here. Hard copies available at the office. The rest online. If you like me, you might want to get the hard copy. Thank you, and good evening. Thank you.
Bye. Well done.